Scripture reading this evening will be Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. Exodus 23, verses 1 through 4. I will be reading from the New American Standard Version this evening. You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute, so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him.
Good to be with you this evening. Appreciate everyone's presence. Sue Taylor called earlier in the day and said something that I think was very good. I agree with it, and I can't quote her verbatim, but she said something to the effect that when it gets back to normal, she hopes that it gets back to normal. And that's right, isn't it? I worry a little bit about that. I hope people don't get used to not coming out. And you can get used to things. Even our service is a little bit odd. I think tonight's the first time I didn't try to drink the bread. But that's just me. But it's something that we don't want to get used to. And shortly, everything will pass and be back to normal. And I hope everybody will come out once again. Acts chapter 10. Turn your Bibles over there. We'll spend just a little bit of time in this particular place. It is a very familiar passage. And usually we look at this and there's a few different things we deal with this particular chapter very often. Very popular sermons have been preached on the Holy Spirit from Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius and his household being baptized with the Holy Spirit, most people think. And perhaps even a more popular theme that we deal with this chapter is the fact that goodness alone doesn't save. And this is a great passage, of course, to demonstrate that. We are blessed to have a gospel that is so wonderful and accessible that God's plan of salvation is easily understood. It's very simple. And that is by God's design. In fact, in Acts chapter 10, as Peter was preaching this first sermon to the Gentiles, you remember at verse 34 it says, "And so Peter opened his mouth and he said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.'" And that's all you have to do to be saved. Now, we know that there are some details involved in that, but basically, in a nutshell, that is it. And so God has made it very simple. If you want to be saved, if you want to be acceptable, then you simply need to fear him and do what is right. And of course, that's from a biblical, scriptural standpoint. What is right involves obeying the gospel of Christ and all of the steps involved in that. But that's pretty simple. I've often said over the years, it's a lot easier to become a Christian than it is to maintain your Christianity. So we are blessed that it is simple, but it's not that simple. It's not so simple that all you have to do is be good. And again, Cornelius is a great example of that. You remember in chapter 11 of Acts, of the book of Acts, that as Peter was rehearsing what had happened with the household of Cornelius, as revealed in chapter 10, he went back to the apostles in Jerusalem and had to share that whole situation with them. And he begins to quote Cornelius and what had transpired there. At verse 13 of Acts chapter 11, it says, and he told us how that he has seen the angel stand in his house and say, send men to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved. And so here's a good man who still needed saving. And so we understand that just goodness is not enough. But a lot of times, as we look at this text and we think about that and we make that point and we kind of move on, we sometimes don't emphasize enough that goodness is indeed important. Like, if you are a Christian, then you are someone doing good. Because that's what Christ did. You go back to, again, chapter 10 at verse 34 that we just read a moment ago. And Peter opens his mouth and he preaches this first gospel sermon. But you drop down just a little bit. Again, at verse 36, it says, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. And if we're Christians, if we're Christ-like, then we too will go about doing good. So we realize tonight that just doing good is not enough to be saved and go to heaven after a while. You have to obey the gospel of Christ, but goodness is a part of our Christianity. And if you want to look at goodness, Cornelius is a pretty good fellow to look at. And the little bit that is said about him here in Acts chapter 10 certainly isn't an exhaustive list of what it means to be good, but it does show us some things involved in being good. And so just for a couple of minutes, let's take a look at Cornelius. Again, usually we just read it and pass by and make the point that that's not enough. But what kind of man was Cornelius? It says here in Acts chapter 10, at verse 1, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. And then it says that he was a devout man. And the idea of being devout has to do with piety and godliness. In fact, the Greek words for godliness or godly and devout are pretty much the same, a difference of one vowel. And so it doesn't take a rocket science to know that these two things are closely related. The idea of being devout is to be godly. And Vines tells us that to be godly involves two things. Number one, it has to do with having a Godward attitude. And that's very important. And we should all have a Godward attitude. That involves, at least in part, thinking about God often. And the truth is, those who go about doing good from a scriptural standpoint are those who think a whole lot about God. And a day shouldn't go by, really, as Christians particularly, where we're not thinking about God. How often have you thought about God today? My guess is all of you have thought several times over the course of this day about God. And of course, this is the Lord's Day. But my guess would be that yesterday you did too. And that the day before that and tomorrow, you'll think about God several times during the course of that day. Because that's just what Christians do. God is the center of our life. So we think about Him a lot. There are a lot of people in the world. If I were to ask them, have you thought about God today? They would say, no, not until you brought Him up. A lot of people don't think about God at all, but being devout, being religious, being godly has to do with thinking about God. And the more we think about God, the better off we are. And the more we're inclined then to do good. And in fact, thinking about God often is good in itself. It's a part of being devout. But now, that's not all that's involved in being devout. And all these things really that are said about Cornelius, as you begin to investigate these few things that are stated, they're kind of related, most of them. But because he is devout, because he's religious, because he is godly, he doesn't just think about God. Godliness also has to do, according to Vines, with doing that which is pleasing to him, that is God. And so what kind of man was Cornelius? He wasn't just one sitting around thinking about God all the time. That's where it began, and he had that kind of heart and that kind of mentality, and that was a wonderful thing. But he actually acted on what he thought. He went about, just like Jesus, he went about doing good. And it was the good that he knew, of course, being a convert to Judaism. He no doubt kept the portions of the law that he as a Gentile could keep. He did what was pleasing to God. And we need to be devout today, don't we? It needs to begin with us having that Godward attitude, but it must not stop there. We too must go about doing good. We must want to please God in the way we live our lives. And that was Cornelius. And by the way, Cornelius lived in a pretty rough world. And it tells us that it doesn't matter what our society is like. It doesn't matter what the values of our society might be, how morally corrupt we become. We can still be godly people who are thinking about God and acting on that and doing good in the eyes of God. And again, I keep saying it has to be scriptural, because not everything that the world thinks is good is actually scripturally good. But if we're really godly and devout, we'll do what is good according to the Word of God. But we have to be about the business of doing that. We have to do what is pleasing to God. And that's what Cornelius did. There's no doubt why he had the attention of God, even on this occasion. Because God knew what kind of man he was. He was devout. He was godly. He thought about God and he did what was right. And notice it says next that not only was he a devout man, but he was a devout man who feared God. And isn't that all kind of related? And isn't that important? It's not enough just to think about God. There's a lot of atheists that think a lot about God with disdain. And how people are deceived for believing that there is such a God. Cornelius thought about God, and he thought about God in the right way. He had an overall attitude of reverence towards God, and that's the only way that you'll go about doing good, being good, if you have that kind of attitude. A godly fear, a reverence, a respect for God. And that certainly plays itself out in the way that we live our lives and whether we're really doing what is pleasing to God. Not just pleasing to ourselves or not just what is popular with the people, but if we really fear God, then we'll do what he wants us to do. And we won't hesitate. Who can forget Abraham? We recently studied Abraham in our Wednesday night Bible class, and you remember towards the end there when God asked him to offer up his son Isaac on an altar as a burnt offering, that he didn't hesitate. That he got up early in the morning and went to the place where God wanted him to do that. It had to be a very painful process, even though he didn't actually have to carry it out. The whole thought of it all had to weigh him down. But by faith, he did, or showed he was willing to do what God asked him to do. And you remember when the angel called out to him and told him to stop, don't hurt the lad. He said, now I know that thou fearest God. It was that fear of God that caused Abraham to be willing even to sacrifice his son. And I think about Noah in Hebrews chapter 11 again, when it came down to the building of the ark. What a command that was for Noah to build an ark. A lot of scholars think that it had never rained up to that point before. I couldn't prove that completely. But most scholars lean in that direction. But nevertheless, here is Noah in an era. We do know that he lived in an area where there wasn't a whole lot of big bodies of water. And there he is building a gigantic ark. And he did it exactly the way God told him to do it. We won't do it now, but you go back and read Genesis where we read of all of that. Genesis chapter 6, and you find that he made that ark precisely the way God told him to do it, just as long as God wanted it, just as wide and high, and everything was just according to the pattern. And he did all of that, the Hebrew writer said, because he feared God. That is a good mentality to have. Do you have reverence for God? It should be demonstrated in everything that we do. What kind of man was Cornelius? He was a man who thought about God. He had a Godward attitude, and he acted on that. He kept the law to the best of his ability as a Gentile, and he did so because he had godly fear. And that's just what fear does. It obeys. We all are familiar, of course, back in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. And you remember at verse 13, a very familiar passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 at verse 13. It says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is pretty important, isn't it? What is the whole duty of man? Here, the Bible says, here it is, right here. Fear God and keep his commandments. That sounds pretty much like what Peter said to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 that we read just a while ago. You fear God and do what is right. What's the difference between that and this? Pretty much the same. But that was Cornelius. He feared God. So he didn't hesitate in doing what God wanted him to do. And to, again, with the knowledge that he had at the particular time, he did what was pleasing to God. We know a whole lot more than Cornelius did in those early days. We have the written word of God before us. We know exactly what God wants us to do and how he wants us to live and worship and work and all of that. Do we fear God enough? Do we have enough reverence to God to be obedient, to keep his commandments? That's a part of making it to heaven after a while. It's not that we can earn our way to heaven, but that's a part of being good. And Cornelius was that man. And what's very impressive here is that it says not only did he fear God, but he feared God, it says, with all his household. Which tells us, by the way, that that word isn't including infants. A lot of people use this to justify infant baptism, but there are no infants involved in this because infants can't fear God. But all of his household, whatever that included, he led them in that direction. He had so much fear for God. He thought about God so much. He had so much respect for him, that he went about doing what was pleasing to God, and he demanded that his household do the same thing. He feared God with all of his house. That's impressive. When you think of Cornelius being a good man, it's not something really that we should just pass over and say, he's pretty good, that's all. But that's not enough. But we know, and 100 sermons have been preached on the fact that goodness alone isn't enough, but it is necessary. And we should try to be as good as Cornelius was. He feared God with all of his household. And then it even says he gave alms generously to the people. That was Cornelius. He was kind and compassionate. He was giving. He wasn't materialistic. He wasn't so greedy that he didn't care about the poor that was around him. He did what he could to help others. And sometimes even as Christians, we forget how important that is. If you look over at the book of Proverbs just briefly here, we don't have time to examine this greatly, but in Proverbs chapter 19 and at verse 17, listen to this simple statement. Proverbs chapter 19 and at verse 17, it says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Now, I want you to stop and just think about that just for a second before we move on. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. Like, if you ever help the poor, and I know in this society today, we have to be very careful about certain things, and people try to take advantage of others, but we can't allow that to cause us to be hard-hearted. You know someone who needs help. And they generally need help, and you know that they need help, and you're in position to help them. A part of goodness is helping. And Cornelius was that man. He did that. He gave alms to the people, and the record says that he did so generously. And this passage in Proverbs says when you do that, it's like giving to God himself. It's like giving. It's like lending to the Lord. And there's all kind of passages that teach that same kind of principle. You remember Jesus even describing the judgment day. That those who aren't generous like that, those who aren't willing to help those who are in need, they're guilty of doing the same thing to Christ himself in principle. So it's important that we realize this concept that we are good, that we're good enough to help others when we have the opportunity to do so. And the only thing that will stop us from doing that is, again, materialism and being greedy and selfish. And those are not characteristics of the good. Let's be like Cornelius. He was good. And so he gave alms generously to the people. And then, of course, it says that he prayed continually to God. And again, it's all connected. He was Godward in his thinking. And if you're thinking about God all the time, remember I began by asking you or making the statement that you probably have thought about God today. And so let me just further that. Since you have thought about God today, there's a pretty good possibility that you have prayed today as well. Because if you think about God all the time, then you're going to pray to God a lot. And if you don't ever think about God, then obviously you won't do too much praying. And so this business of Cornelius being someone who was devout, someone who was religious and Godward in his thinking, that was demonstrated because he prayed to God all the time. And we ought to be praying people. We ought to be praying for each other. There's a whole lot to pray about right now, isn't there? And we ought to be praying for this local congregation. We ought to be praying for people all over the world. And we ought to be praying for the president and those in positions of authority throughout the government and those who make laws and decisions. We ought to be praying constantly. We certainly need to pray for ourselves, for our own weaknesses. But it's just what good people do. Not good people in the world. There's a lot of people in the world who would be viewed as being good in society, and they never pray at all because a lot of them don't even trust in God. But scripturally speaking, you can't be good biblically without praying a lot. We need to be prayers. Let's practice prayer a little more. We have preached sermons and series on praying and praying more often and more passionately. That's just a part of being good, and that was the man that Cornelius was. Was it enough? No, he had to hear a message whereby he would be saved. And there is that glaring example that goodness alone won't save. But let's not just pass over that and forget that goodness is a part of being saved, at least from the standpoint of maintaining our Christianity once we obey the gospel. Let's try to be as good as Cornelius was. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do that tonight? You have seen that goodness alone isn't enough. Maybe you're a very good person, and maybe you do some of these things that Cornelius did. Maybe you have some of the same characteristics. Maybe you have all of these characteristics. But again, it's not enough. You have to obey the gospel. Why not do that tonight? You have the opportunity tonight to be buried in the waters of baptism. Acts 2 at verse 38, you have to repent and be baptized, Peter said when he was asked what to do to be saved. And the same thing is true today. If you're outside of the body of Christ, only baptism will put you into the body of Christ. Galatians 3 at verse 27. You need to do that before it's too late. Don't sit back and say, oh, but I'm good. I'm probably better than you. I wouldn't doubt that at all. But you still need to obey the gospel. You need to do what Cornelius did. If you read the entirety of chapter 10, you'd find round about 48, I believe it is, that he was commanded to be baptized. And so are you if you want to be saved. You're subject to the invitation. Come forward as we together stand and sing.